Good evening. It's good to be here in God's house. I'm glad that to see all of you that have come back this evening. Trust you had a good afternoon in the Lord, and looking forward to what God has for us this evening. What a wonderful prayer time we had. We had a good crowd here at 6 o'clock prayer meeting time, and glad all of you took time out of your schedule to come and pray with us and make intercession and prayer. That's one of the most precious times that I have during the week, is to be able to pray with our church. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock we have prayer time, and then on Wednesday night, again, we have a prayer meeting, and I tell you, that is a wonderful time that I personally enjoy. I really do. I appreciate those who come out and take part in that, and it is a needful thing. You're a stranger to prayer, you're a stranger to power. And so we need God's power. We really do. Tonight, if you would go to Isaiah, we'll start in Isaiah 55 this evening. Glad to have visitors back with us this evening, and I trust that they're enjoying our Orlando and surrounding area. And hopefully they'll leave with a little bit of their own money left in their pockets. We do the best we can to take all we can get. Gotta have tourist tax. If not, we can't build soccer stadiums. You gotta build soccer stadiums. You know, that's a needful thing nowadays. Can't refurbish the citrus bowl, you gotta build a new one. Amazing. Good to see all of you here tonight. We're in Isaiah 55. We're gonna talk about God's thoughts this evening. God's thoughts. And just five things that we're going to look at. Won't be long tonight in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I enjoy, at the end of the day, just sitting for a moment, 10, 12, 15 minutes, and just thinking about the day, kind of processing the day, my thoughts, and cataloging it, and getting it in order, and thinking about tomorrow, and you know, what's going to happen then. You know, what am I going to do tomorrow? Things I've got to accomplish, you know, so forth and so on. But the things we're going to see tonight with God and God's thoughts in the Word of God are very helpful to us as His children. And so we need to look into the Word of God and see what God says about His thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 9. The first thing we notice about God's thoughts is, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Don't we think of some magnificent things sometimes? I mean, you know, we sit around and dream. And I'm telling you, we need to dream. We dream and keep it in perspective, and thoughts that are pure thoughts and right thoughts. And we're dreaming about those things and thinking, "Lord, help me to accomplish those dreams." Sometimes we can think of some very unique things. I think about how the Wright brothers must have been feeling when they were thinking about building an airplane. I think about how Thomas Edison and the inventions, and Booker T. Washington and the things, what the process, the thoughts. Think about Henry Ford. Does he sit there and thought and pondered on building a car? I mean, it had, and then, you know, you're talking about mules and horses and wagons and buggies. But think about it. The thoughts that wanted, the process. With all that thinking, think about the men who thought about the space station they're building out there, wherever it's at, somewhere, floating around in space. And they go there and live on this thing. They spend days on the, listen, it wasn't like a pop in the night. "Oh, wow, we can put two sticks of metal together, put a cube here and put a little ball there, and we can have a space station. We can live in space." Great thoughts, great plans went into this. It's nothing with God. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. The very DNA that is in our bodies is more complex than this space station. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that from everlasting to everlasting, God's thoughts have always been, always will be. And all the things that we contemplate, all the things that we think about, all the inventions that our minds can come up with, cannot even come close to filling a half cup full compared to God. Put it in comparison like this, when we're talking about righteousness, God says, all your righteousness are as filthy rags. Sometimes we think we can come up with some pretty good things that are pretty righteous. And God says they're nothing but filthy rags. God says we're like a drop, it's like a drop in the bucket. Oh, His thoughts are so much higher. I cannot understand why God chose man to take forth the gospel message. But He thought about it. And He put that plan into action. I mean, think about today. We have internet, we have television, we have satellite, cell phone. I mean, you can do face-to-face conversations and be miles and miles, states away from each other. But God's plan and God's thoughts was that He would use man. His thoughts are much higher than mine and your thoughts. We sit around and we think about the Apostle Paul and say, I personally would not have chosen Paul. Because remember, he was Saul before he was Paul. Think about whenever Samuel was there and fixing to anoint the next king, and Samuel thought, surely one of these has got to be it. Hey, the meal was prepared. Food was laid out. They were fixing to have a delicious meal. And Samuel said, I'm not eating until my business is accomplished. He got down to the last one that was in the room and said, Samuel's thinking, man, surely. Hey, do you have another son? We've got this runt. He's out there. No, I don't think he'd be it. Go bring him. I'm not going to sit and eat until my business is accomplished. And he brought David in. We would be just like the nation of Israel. We would have chose Saul. Because his stature, because of who he is. And oh dear friend, think about yourself. You didn't choose God. God thought about you and chose you.
Amen.
Chose me. I can't understand why, to be honest with you. I think about some of the message I preached and listen sometimes. This past month, we've been redoing the website, and Brother Bill's been putting some sermons on the website, and he's asked me to go back and title some of them, and I'm listening to that, and I'm thinking, God, help. Where's Balaam at? Because this donkey's doing a better job than this. Hee-haw, hee-haw. God, why did you choose me? His thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. Much higher than your thoughts. Flip over to Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 11. Jeremiah 29:11. So we know that God's thoughts are much higher than your thoughts and my thoughts. And to be honest with you, if we could ever figure out God, we wouldn't need Him. It's a good thing we can't. we can figure them out, we'd be a god unto ourselves. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Bible says there, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end." God's thoughts are thoughts of peace, not evil. How many times have you and I been in a situation with someone that has crossed our path kind of in a negative way? Whatever the situation may be. I mean, it rubbed you the wrong way. Brother Sam, y'all remember Brother Sam Groff? He's supposed to come visit us down here one day this month, sometime in November, I think, and maybe here real shortly, if he gets everything worked out. One day he came in when he was down here before he moved back to Pennsylvania, and he said, "Preach, I gotta tell you about a funny song I heard today on the radio. It's a song about prayer." And he said, this guy would sing this song, and said something like this. I don't know the complete words, but he said, "I prayed for you today. I prayed that a flower pot would fall off the balcony or whatever and hit you in the head. I prayed you'd have a flat tire." Listen, that's how we pray. We look at somebody that's crossed our path and we say, "Well, I know I need to pray. I need practice. They need the prayer. So God, I pray that you would break their leg. God, I pray that you would help them not to be able to pay their bills this week." Why? Well, because they cut me off in traffic and they took the parking spot that I wanted. That was mine. And so God, I pray that you would just really, really devour them today. God says, "I know my thoughts of you, that they're thoughts of peace, not evil." I wonder how many times if you and I were God and we were evaluating our life, how many times would we as God look down at us and say, "It's time for a flower pot to fall"? I mean, how many times in our own life would we pray, "Lord, hey, so this time that something really bad happens"? Think about the things that you've messed up and I've messed up in our life and how we've hurt people, we've harmed people, we've harmed relationships. And I'm telling you, hey, the thoughts would be evil. God says, "I know my thoughts toward you. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end." I don't understand and I have no idea why mankind falls. But we do. We do. And God looks down at us and He looks through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at His children. And He thinks about us. Doesn't think about us continually in that sinful state. He thinks about us justified. He thinks about us accepting that atonement. God's thoughts. I can't understand it. I look at things that take place in life and I can't understand how the grace of God could appear to a man like Jeffrey Dahmer. Grace of God has appeared to all men.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying Jeffrey Dahmer was saved, never, don't even know if somebody gave him the gospel, but he had every opportunity. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because the heavens declare the handiwork of God. Right. Psalms chapter 92, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The thoughts of God are thoughts of peace and not evil. Psalms chapter number 92. Verse number 5. Psalms chapter 92, verse 5. The Bible says there, "O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. God looks down past our faults. God looks down into our life. He looks past our hurt. He looks down deeper than we could ever see. And He sees that if we would yield ourselves to Him as instruments of righteousness, with a free choice, not by force. God's not looking for carbon copies. God's just looking for some people to realize that they're sinners, that they're failures before a holy and righteous God. And that they'll allow the empowering Spirit of God to live and dwell in them freely and walk in the Spirit, He can do some great and mighty things. His thoughts are very deep. Have you ever been in a preaching service and the man of God stood up and he opened the Word of God and the thoughts that he presented were so profound and so deep. Every word of God is deep and profound. It wasn't the orator. John 3:16 has so much depth. So deep. Yet it's a common verse that's held upon placards at ball games around the world. Yet sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon has been preached from John 3:16. And we're yet to get to the bottom of the depths of the love of God. His thoughts are deep. Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139 and verse 17. Psalms 139 and verse 17, the Bible says this: how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Church, we need to stop and get alone and ponder the very thoughts of God. Look into the Word of God and listen. If they are not precious unto you, there is something that is wrong in our heart and life. My daughter-in-law took a picture of my grandson and sent it out and posted it. And he's got that look. There's something he's looking at. It's just precious. That's my grandson. It's precious. I mean, literally precious. The very words of God, dear friend, the thoughts that He has presented, the precepts, the principles throughout the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, they need to be precious unto me. Not just unto you or to Clay or someone else. There needs to be a personal preciousness about the thoughts of God to you and I individually that will help us day by day when difficult hours come, we can think upon the preciousness of the Word of God because His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are thoughts of peace. They're very deep and get down into the core of the matter. The Word of God says in Hebrews 4:16 that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Cutting down into the bone and the marrow, separating the joints, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, they should be precious. Precious unto us. So many times we take the very Word of God that means so much to our very life as Christians. And it's just a byword. It's just the Bible. It loses that preciousness. It's like I said about the church in Revelation, I've got someone against you. You've left your first love. It starts somewhere. And I believe it starts when we lose sight of the precious thoughts of God. This is what helps us and feeds us and guides us and directs us. It's like a spotlight that marks our path. Shows us that hole out there. You know, sometimes I think what the problem is, Brother Victor, we want to see the hole 16 miles down the way. 16 miles down the way is not the trouble. It's the snare right in front of us. So it's a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. How many of you would like to drive down the turnpike one day on that straight part where it's like 9 miles, 10 miles, 12 miles? You can say, and 12 miles down there, there's a light coming at you so bright that you can't even see no more. It'd be disturbing, wouldn't it? Well, I'm telling you, if we could see the troubles and snares 16 miles out there down the road, 6 months, 7 months down the road, we'd be frightful little children. It's not the one down the road that's going to get us. It's the one right in front of us. It's precious thoughts. Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Verse 5. Psalms 40, verse 5. Kind of two thoughts here, or two things I want to mention in this passage. Psalms 40, verse 5. The Bible says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us, they cannot be reckoned up in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Oh, church. Understand what that verse is telling you. Understand the thing, the very thoughts that are to us, where they cannot be reckoned up and ordered unto thee. In other words, there's not a computer program in the world that could come up with a number that matches the very thoughts of God toward me as an individual. They are more than can be numbered. Sister, if we go to the ocean out at Melbourne and along the beach and we get 25 million bulldozers, front end loaders, and we go from the south side of Miami all the way up to Jacksonville and pick up all the sand that was there, and we counted the sand pieces from Miami to Jacksonville. Dear friend, the thoughts of God toward me are more than all of that. Amen. That didn't say to the world. It said to us word. And I am in us. That's deep, ain't it? Sometimes us gets cloudy, don't we? Sometimes we get lost in us, don't we? But as an individual, those thoughts are toward you and toward me. They're higher than my thoughts. I mean, and all my little thoughts are like little bitty peon things. What they call them, the things in there, neutrons and protons, atoms. How you say that, Sister Nancy? Protons. sign language, his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. His thoughts are of peace, very deep, precious, and should be precious unto us. Can't be reckoned up. Can't be numbered. Oh, God's thought. This should be our prayer. Flip over to Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter number 5. Did I say Nehemiah? Maybe I meant Nahum. I'm sorry. No, I meant Nehemiah. I'm in the wrong place. I can't read my own writing. Nehemiah was right. First thought, I'll go with the first thought, and this, if you get there and it's not it, make something up. I didn't really mean that. Don't make nothing up. Just admit that you blew it. Move on to the next point. Man, this new Bible I've got here. Sticking together. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 19. And you're thinking right now, I can hear your thoughts. Right now. Sometimes our pastor's so lost. God help his poor self. Yeah, I am lost. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 11. Well, that ain't going with it. 19. That's it. That's a 9, Brother Jim. It sure is. Did you look up here at my notes? Did I say 19? Well, thank you, Lord. Verse 19, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Our prayer should be that God thinks upon us. Has it ever occurred to you in your lifetime, or happened to you, or there were just some folks you didn't even want to think about? I mean, the very thought of them brought just upset, heartburn. You wanted a tongue just after the thought come in your mind. I mean, just, you think about it. Whatever they've done to you, whatever harm or hurt they've caused you, it doesn't match up to the heart, the hurt and harm that we've caused God.
Amen.
And our prayer should be, God, think upon me. Lord, I'm nothing but dust. You knew me when I was in the womb. You put me there. And Lord, I'm woeful. And Lord, think upon me. Lord, tomorrow when I get up in the morning and get ready to go to work, think upon me. Think upon me, Lord. For good. According to all that I have done for this people. And this is how I would look at this. Have you ever had your kids say, Mom, Dad, would you pray that I'll pass this test? This is my prayer when they ask it. They don't even ask it no more. God, help them to pass this test according to that which they have studied and prepared for this test. That's how I would look at this verse. Think upon me, God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. So if I want God to think on me in the same manner that I have done to others, yeah, be careful. Now, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A lot of us don't live that way, do we? Lord, let them do unto me like I want to do, the way they bless me. Our prayers, Lord, I pray, God, you think upon me, but God, help me to reap what I've sown. Because we are going to reap it. So if we know we're going to reap it, isn't it best to reap some good stuff? Kindness, love, gentleness, tenderness, mercy, forgiveness. Because we're going to reap it. Because I'm telling you, if there's been days in my life, if I'd have prayed this prayer, Lord, according as I've done to others, think on it, I'd be in a heap of trouble. Not every day. I'd say about 300 days out of the year. No, not that many. 299. That should be our prayer. Well, here's our assurance. Flip over to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Psalms 40 and verse number 17. Here's our assurance. But I am poor and needy. Who fits that there? Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Lord, I don't have anything to offer you. I am nothing. I'm poor and needy. The Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. They're thoughts of peace, not of evil. They're very deep. They should be precious. They cannot be reckoned or numbered or added up. Lord, we pray, think upon us. Our assurance, the Lord thinketh upon me. You know, right there in that passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit of God could have had the psalmist write down, the Lord thinketh upon the nation of Israel. The Lord thinketh upon the world. The Lord thinketh upon Judah. But He made it personal. And I can put my name there, the Lord thinketh upon life. And you can put your name, He thinketh upon me. Thou art my help. God's thoughts. Many things we go through in life we don't understand. But we do have God's Word. But He is our help. He's our deliverer. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That He saves each and every individual the same way. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to the cross of Calvary, you come level, a sinner before a holy and righteous God. Every child of God who confesses and forsakes their sins, God will forgive. He's righteous and just to do so. I don't have a secret corner on God. We all have, as His children, the Holy Spirit of God. Living in us. And He thanks us. Stand to our feet.